Welcome to Redeeming Qualities, the podcast that shows this is not how men speak, but this is how friends speak. I am Fat As Fez. Joined with me is Dirty Ass Dan and Musty Ass Mark. Go ahead and introduce yourselves, fellas.
Mark, Rastafari Unicorn on Instagram. I got, find me on Redeeming Qualities, Sad Boy Marco on Spotify. And on the Fresh Jays podcast as well.
I'm Dan. I am apparently pretty dirty. I have no following, but you can find me on the Redeeming Qualities podcast on Instagram.
All right. We'll go ahead and go right into it. So this last weekend, we had a conversation outside of the other podcast in which we talked about kind of how social media is going and in shape men and in shape women, how they're using their bodies. Some of them are using it to make money. Some of them are using it just for clout. And some of them are doing it in an attempt to get likes. And so we're going to be doing a deep dive into this one today because it felt like, first off, we all kind of disagreed on where everything was. So that's what we like to do here on Redeeming Qualities is we like to disagree. So
we'll go ahead and get fuck you.
That's right. If you expected a coherent host and other members of this podcast, well, you came to the wrong fucking place.
Right.
So that's not how we do it on Redeeming Qualities. So let's go right into this. So let's go into kind of the way things are going for the young single man nowadays, and this is going to be the scenario for the starting one. Is this person meet somebody who is already a social influencer, Instagram, and doing all these likes, and kind of what, like, the expectations going into a relationship? Do you think this person should be able to dictate what this other person does, or any of that?
Okay. Maybe I'm not the brightest fella, but that seemed a little vague to me. Can you clear that up? So it's a single person that is going to start a relationship with somebody that's like an influencer?
A single person who's going to start a relationship with somebody who's already doing this, that posts risque photos on Instagram and all these different things.
Okay. And I'd like to give some background if I could. Influencers. This is outside of even sex workers. Influencers alone that are a vehicle that are used to sell things online now, right? Are the people that break most music we talk about, are the people that are passing along most of the information through many generations, okay? And a person with 10, I typed in right when we were doing this, how much does an influencer with 500,000 followers make? Mm-hmm. Okay. A person with 10,000 to 50,000 followers can make $250 to $500 per image. A person with 50,000 to 100,000 followers can make $500 to $1,000 per image. 100,000 to 500,000 makes $1,000 to $3,000 per image. Okay.
What?
$500 plus.
Just to put a picture up.
Posting pictures with wearing whatever, swag or merchandise that they're selling.
God, I wish I wasn't so fucking ugly, man.
Okay. You look good. First of all, this is disgusting.
And then I think you're thinking of these social influencers as only being models.
They're not. It's every market ever. It's everything.
I'm a goofy bitch. I sell, that's my look. I want the high one.
It could be Traeger grills. It could be Traeger grills. It could be that cup that you had with them goofy ass sunglasses you sent a picture of us just a couple days ago, which you looking really weird posing in the camera, which you should post up now.
Honestly, can we tap into this? That I have not laughed so fucking hard at being roasted in a long time, man. We've never done this on the Redeeming Qualities podcast. Can I give this a read through real quick? I'm going to go all author. This is a High Time Stories with Danny, but this is completely off the cuff. I got to go back in the text and read this. We're going to try to paint a clear mental picture for all the listeners out there. Unfortunately, we just send so much messages back and forth that it gets pretty. Everybody, like, if you get offended easily, this is where you're gonna start. Stop listening to the podcast, because I decided I was getting ready for the gym. For those of you that have been meatheads at one point, you know how that pre-workout gets going.
It does.
I'm like getting ready for the gym. I get my pre-workout on and I'm like, fuck, 15 minutes in, you get that itchy face and you're like, I gotta go lift some weights, you know? So I'm like, but I put on my sunglasses, and what I do before I go to the gym, I get pretty baked plus the pre-workout, you know? So I'm like vibing extra. And I look at myself when I put these sunglasses on, I'm like, damn, I like these sunglasses, you know? Like, so I send a picture to Mark and Fez on our little podcast, thread. And I was like, hey guys, am I like really baked or do these shades slap? Right. And I was like, I feel like my dick grew the moment they hit my face.
Oh, this is just so you guys know, this is actually at this point now, this is actually what he texted us.
Oh yeah. I'm reading verbatim actually what went down. And Mark responds, it's like, nah, they slap. You're just holding that camera like a man that makes necklaces. So immediately when I read that, the first thing I do is bust up laughing, because when I sent the picture, I didn't do like a pre-recorded picture, right? Like I was just like in the snap button, hit the little camera on the iPhone and get it going. And I'm like, okay, so here, Mark just got me good, you know? And I'm like, wow. And then so I respond, I'm like busting up laughing. You know, I already done the click on it and hit the laugh button. And then I was like, I thought the same exact thing. It was just a little less descriptive though. I think super gay was how I described myself. and I was like, but my mirror's up kind of high. And I was trying to, you know, like create an excuse that the fellas would let me get away with, you know, and Mark wasn't having it. And then Fez comes in, and this is where it gets pretty good. Cause Fez are like, those are nice glasses. But that is the world's softest goatee. I got a little 5 o'clock shadow going on, right? And I'm like, and then he follows up with, and you have a Michael Jackson white chin. And I was like, says Lord Farquaad, because if you know Fez, he got that massive, big old manly chin. I got this little tiny, dainty bitch chin that I've had to deal with. And then Fez throws the picture of Michael up there, and he couldn't have had a better little image of Michael Jackson on there, with just barely any stubble and his like super chiseled white man chin. And it's like, ah, shit. So then I responded with, plus the studies I've done have shown that the short goatee pulls the most buns. If I grow it too long, I'm a convict. If it's gone, I'm a child. And then Fez takes the picture that I sent, puts a hard close up on my face with the glasses, and he's like, I had to put the comparison together. And I was like, fuck, I'm ugly. At that point I realized it, and then I was like, I look like I sell sex toys. And then everybody started busting up, and I was like, I took another picture, and I was like, down low, because they were trying to roast me for taking pictures like I made crystal necklaces.
I don't think they're gonna grab hold of this story.
Danny takes a picture and he's looking in the mirror, and the only song that was going through my brain was Hello Darkness My Old Friend.
Oh my gosh.
It's the saddest. It's like looking at like the most contemplative
into
book.
My soul, like I'm just about to jump.
And yeah, really, I'm saving this right now because it's actually great.
That was the picture he decided to send us. My guess is there's like 500 in between.
No,
this.
There's not 500. I did the same thing. I just clicked the camera button, except this time I held it down low, so I didn't look like I was necklaces. I was trying to give you from the D angle, you know, so you know what you were looking like.
That I will be posting those up. You will be able to see those on the Redeeming Quality podcast Instagram, so you can see the deterioration of Danny's confidence.
So we could break Danny down.
Yes. Not that I don't love you, man, and the glasses are cool. The reason why I think people could be motivated to get online in general or be a social media motherfucker or become a fitness person is because these people can have this type of income just from living their life and posting pictures of it, you know? So that's without even sex, you know, adding it to it. So, you know, back to the scenario you were saying, Fez.
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, I think it's like right now for me, I've grew up in a more traditional, like I'm like the old millennial, like, you know what I'm saying? So This wasn't something that was existing in the dating world. Like when I was, you know, doing MySpace and Facebook, people really weren't posting the type of pictures they are now. And like, just showing it off all the time, because I think in my mindset, I'm a little bit older, a little bit more conservative, going into a relationship and this person has a library and catalogs of all these pictures that all these other dudes are looking at and liking and thirsting on, I think I would struggle making a connection to this person.
I mean, for you, I feel like that's totally true. You know what I mean? Like, just knowing you, that totally makes sense to me. And I feel like probably knowing Mark, it's the opposite. Am I off, Mark?
About like having trouble getting in touch with somebody that is posting pictures of themselves all the time.
Yeah,
connection.
My psyche towards going to these women is so insane. It's out of place because of my dive into this dating shit. It's been different for you guys. It's very weird. I will start with that. Kendrick Lamar has a song on Kanye's thing, and it says Instagram is the best way to promote some pussy. Okay, these girls. When they post pictures like that, if you're a young dude trying to talk to a girl like that, she is getting emails from dudes that are millionaires when she's 18 saying, do you want to come to Tulum with me? Okay. Her options are insane. You know what I'm saying? Her options, I can pay for your rent. You can move out of your parents' house. I will buy you a car. What is up? If they're fine. Right. So you are a normal guy that may have a car and may have a job and you're trying to talk to her? No, G. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, like and these girls are knowing this at a younger, younger age. They're understanding this at 15 and 16 that, hey, if I start taking pictures now, I can sell more and more. I can sell my socks. I can sell my drawers.
Or bath water.
Yes, I can sell a cup of my bath water or a picture of me in milk for and make $30,000 off of it. So what, as a dude, as a young man, if in the psyche of a young man, who can I talk to? Realistically, I don't think these guys are thinking that they can talk to these girls. You know,
we'd have to get, I don't agree. Think that. I think that's why dudes sitting around beating off to animated shit.
Or paying for their OnlyFans or watching a bunch of porn or whatever, or hating women. And that's why there's a whole population called incels, you know what I'm saying?
So do you think a lot of these girls are actually kind of over-marketing themselves? And what I mean by this is they're putting up all these pictures and they're becoming so unapproachable that they have to wait for some like millionaire dude that has the confidence in all this to actually begin to date. I never thought about it on that side.
They're not waiting. The world has come to them. Dude, when the time they're 18, this comes, the whole world comes to them. And all the dudes that are 50 and 30 that have a lot of money, even if they're just 100,000-aires, are saying, hey, this is money. I can be your sugar daddy. I can do this. Here's money. I'll send you money right now. Check your DMs and their cash. What's your Cash App? And dropping $300, $500 in their Cash Apps. Even if these girls don't have to be sex workers. They just, you know what I'm saying? It depends on what level of hotness we're talking about here, but the world falls on them. They don't have to look. So their first boyfriend could be a dude just with a whole bunch of money that takes them around all over the world, you know? That could just be. And so they're not waiting to date. They just date that dude for a while. They're kept women. He puts them up in a sick hotel. You know, I don't know whether their life is nice or not. I've met a couple of them and talked to some of them, but for the most part, they're out of touch because
I met a couple. I don't know what their life's like. I met a couple.
They're living. They're celebrities, man. Everyone's saying yes whenever they go somewhere. It's like, okay.
You mean the ones off Fontina?
No. And that's Figueroa.
So then here's the question I have is, this is a large proportion of them. Let's go ahead and, you know, dive into the ones that aren't getting these millionaires to, you know, contact them. and you know they're doing this, and they, you know, they kind of have this thing where they think, well, I don't get likes because I don't take off my clothes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're talking about a normal girl. So we're talking about just a normal girl that posts and isn't super sexy on there. Is that what you're talking about, or is?
I'm saying sometimes my guess is that these girls don't get likes that don't want to put the content out there, or they don't want to put themselves out there in a bikini and whatnot.
Well, now we've found out that studies have shown, and we can look this up, that there is social media has rewired the reward system in our brains. Okay. So these girls are pressured heavily because it's like, if I'm a pretty or even average girl, right, and I'm posting my art and it's not getting any likes, and I have a whole page and no one ever sees my body, and then you see their behavior change. You see them post up a picture half naked with whatever they're doing with their art, or the first pictures will be their body and then the last one will be the poem they wrote, right? So that they could at least get the likes, okay? Because those feel good. Posting something and not getting any likes, it's like a bombed joke.
You want that dopamine hit.
They want to hear their phone go crazy. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, they feel the neurons. That's why I feel like if we all just for 3 days just secretly stopped liking all girls' posts, bro, there would be suicides. Girls would be jumping out of yes. There would be certain, they would be like, "What? There's something wrong with the fucking app. There's something wrong." And they would.
I think it's funny
explode.
You said they just want to hear the ding, 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 like the phone going off. You know what I did that has helped me so much? I turned off all my notifications on everything but text messages. I do not get notified of shit on my phone, and I gotta say it's probably one of the best things I did for myself.
Imagine you have this, you kind of monitor and regulate the happiness in your relationship, whether you think about it or not. You like give your girl some flowers. You compliment her that day. Okay, that raises it or not, if she is not super in the internet. Okay, imagine having a girl whose happiness is connected to how many likes she got. So even if you're pissed off, she just posts a nasty picture and now she has 5,000 dudes telling her she's hot. So what the fuck? You guys' argument, you have to now argue with, you know, you have to now level with that. You see?
Yeah, who chose that? That you chose that.
And you know, that's true. You chose that. You chose that. Man, that's, I can't even speak English.
We're going
fast. You choose these normal, and I say normal, communicating as has been in the past, like as a relationship. It makes me wonder, like, what, As a person, you know, who lacked confidence back in, you know, I used to struggle when I would see like a girlfriend talking to somebody else, because I always felt less than, and I would always be like, is she going to leave me for this person? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I did. Yes. I never was getting buns anyway. I knew she was into other dude.
Well, right. Danny, I've heard your stories. You're like, oh, this girl was blowing me in math class. And you're like, it was so tough for me. Like, no, Danny. Yeah, that is the opposite of a bad time. I was like, you know, like one or two girls.
Blowing me.
Yeah. We're
going. And the teacher was like, I want the balls.
You get back in. And everything was just all over me. It was just wet. I would slip on the floor all the time. Man, it was tough to be Danny.
We're in my personal business now.
You put that on the podcast. So I was super insecure, very, you know, like, in a good sense, I got a girlfriend after they knew me for a while, which meant they actually liked me. They didn't like me based off, you know, face value. And as a young guy, I couldn't see the value in that. And then I was super insecure. So I just imagined, like, you know, you're a kid, you're dating a girl, and all of a sudden she blows up. You know, now you're going to something different where it's not like you're establishing a relationship. You're already in a relationship, and all of a sudden she blows up. How do you think that is handled? Or, you know what I'm saying?
I think you move on because you're done. Like,
you think so? I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're insecure. Like, really,
if you're insecure and stable, then it's done.
Yeah, I think that's your problem.
You just got to deal with that. One thing I've learned as I've gotten older was the, like Mark's constantly saying, and like maybe we give Mark some shit because he's the younger dude, but like he's just, yeah, you know, if you can accept you, then everything falls into place. And I feel like I'm kind of just now realizing that. And like when you are doing something that makes you feel good, other people would just be like, okay, this dude doesn't really give a fuck about the other people's opinion. And I feel like that's really freeing. I don't know how I got to that topic. I just finished off this bowl.
Well, yeah. That's what this question is. Is more like, well, it's kind of case by case. Like, well, we could say we're guys that we don't want to have our girl all out, but there could be a dude that is with that. And if he's
personally.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. So real quick, you're talking, Danny, you're talking singular. So a relationship, as you know, is never singular. There's two people, each has their own thing. And then they also have a relationship that they either work towards or, you know, if both parties aren't working towards it, they're working away from it. That's just the simplicity of it. So I get it in your thoughts. Like, well, fuck them. Well, then you're not going to have a relationship with them. But what happens when you find somebody you want to have a relationship with and this, you know, they start doing this?
Then you have to accept in your life that, like, sometimes shit doesn't work out. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, I have learned more, like, so this is weird and it's dumb. I'm going to bounce all around. But, like, my favorite animal is the octopus, right? And my favorite animal is the octopus because an octopus, like, depending on the species, but, like, the particular one that I looked at, like, a year we'll use for, and like, just an arbitrary number to throw out there. But an octopus lives for, like, a year, right? The octopus is super fucking old, and it's in the ocean, which, as we know, takes up about 70% of our planet, right? So, like, land-dwelling animals haven't been around as long as the sea dwellers, and we don't even know as much about the ocean as we think we do. So, already, and then you look at the octopus, and it's, like, got this ridiculous amount of intellect. So, the octopus is only around for a year, but it has to learn at such a rapid rate to survive, just to maintain its life, that it has developed all these mechanisms for deceit, and it has the intellect to learn, like, ridiculously so. And I feel like that is something that I try to emulate sometimes in my life. I know it sounds stupid to be like, well, what kind of traits do you, but, like, I consciously think about these things a lot. Like, what things do I want to emulate? What are the things that I want to stand for? And, like, the octopus is kind of that thing. Like, it adapts to every situation. It makes informed decisions, and it's like the octopus can constantly shift and adapt to its environment. And I feel like that's where I find value in my life now. I've noticed that when relationships don't work or something, you can sit there and you can dwell on it and you can let it drag you down, or you can shift and try to adapt. Those changes are hard, and it fucking sucks when you lose something that was good. But, like, all you can do is take the information you've learned from that and process it forward. So, like, without pain, you don't have pleasure. Without good, you don't have bad. So I feel like you have to experience those things and let them go in order to move on to the next thing. Kind of like mollusks do, like a lobster or a hermit crab. It's like, hey, it's time to move on to the next shell. You know, like, you may have appreciated the comfort and protection that shell gave you, but, like, sometimes it's just time to move on or you're going to cripple yourself.
I get what you're saying. You're saying, like, with that, like, a person, but you also think that a person can't grow with you. And I get that. But what I'm trying to say is, as a relationship, you have a healthy relationship up to this point, and then the internet, and that person has to make a choice. Like, okay, I'm getting a lot of likes here. Does that value over my relationship with this person? Well, I get that as well. I'm just saying this is the modern world, and people are having to go through this, and a lot of people may have kids, may have this, and their thought process isn't going to be, well, fuck it, I'm a Kermit crab, that shit's done.
Let me well, get no, that's not.
Yeah, they're just growing up in an adaptive environment. Like, their environment is different, so they're just going to adapt to it, like we did.
I think what I took from Danny was saying is that, like, he's saying that he can emulate that you need to be able to adapt to situations, and in an ideal situation, both people can adapt to those things. So yes, both people can say, I'm changing, I'm going in this direction, and that person has a choice to say, I'm either with this and I can adapt to the changes, or I'm not and I'm going to change to my new shell.
Okay.
And
that's just what it is. Exactly. Sorry, and that's the part I left out.
I like that's a thought. Now I'm going to flip that. All right, now, and this is kind of where I was hoping this would go. Now, I have seen a lot of hate towards men on like TikTok and whatnot because like this is what I do and this person can't get with this. Now, that is an interesting thing because just as you guys have said, it's a choice that the woman is making to have a business, have an industry where she, you know, does these videos or whatnot. And she's mad at the guy for not being okay with it, a choice that she made. What's the thought on this?
I think that just like dudes are going to have to be like, that's, you know, whatever she wants to do is what the fuck she wants to do. That she's going to have to be like, yeah, respect the notion that he may not be cool with that. So if you're getting into that, yeah, you might lose the man you're with. And all those people that are supporting her saying, fuck him, girl. Like that is like counterintuitive to what they're trying to say in their own liberation, because you were saying, yeah, we should be able to live whatever life they want. Well, then so should those people if they say that they don't want to be with that. Right.
I love that you say that.
They're being intolerant to intolerance.
This is the thing I hate the fucking most out of anything. Exactly what you're describing. You're going to sit there and say that like one person is doing this thing and it's like, oh God, this brings me to this. Jeez, I'm not even going to touch on this. Keep going. Sorry, I was thinking the all cops are bad thing. It was another topic.
I thought you were going to start talking about sea slugs this time around. I was like, what aquatic
sorry, dude.
Did
I'm a nerd. Honestly, I watched the documentary the other day. It was like my octopus teacher, and I'm like, shit. Now I forgot.
Oh, dude, I heard by about the way, my octopus teacher. That should make you cry, bro.
Dude, when that octopus. You know, as a person that recently, like, lost a pet, of course, like, relationship with that octopus, like, he saw it. Gosh, that show is so great. And
first of all, he's fucking free. He's free diving every fucking day for a year. That's a hard dude, first of all. And then he's balling. You know, like, you want to talk about what masculinity is? Homie had it. I don't know. What, like, he's crying about this octopus, right? At some point, I'm like, the dude definitely beat his dick underwater with that octopus at least once, because it's a little too close of a bond, in my opinion. But the amount of dedication that the dude
okay, nowhere in the ever think that, but go ahead.
I thought, no. When I hear people talk about it, I was like, did he fuck him? I always thought that is it going in the direction that he fucking. Wrapped his tentacles around his dick or some shit.
He tried some shit. He like gets you gotta watch it. I'm not.
He gets an erection. Did he say that?
I'm probably. Right. I'm not gonna put in. First of all, dude, you get that into some shit. You are free. No, you are 100%. Maybe I want to fuck an octopus.
Make it up stuff about this guy. Nowhere did it talk about an erection or dick or anything.
I did not say that. I just let Mark go with it. I did not say that.
Oh,
I just needed to know. So I don't know what he didn't really say it. But
all I'm saying is if you watch it at the end when he's getting hit in the feels about this octopus, you know he was doing some shit. Like, you know. You
did
can't.
You feel that at office?
No, I did
well,
not.
Well, then you're a weirdo, bro. Then you are weird.
Then you're a weirdo. You can't appreciate intimacy.
So, when Danny gets sad about losing a pet, it's because he fucked that animal.
It's because...
based off Danny's own logic, Danny'd be out there fucking dogs.
I'm just saying, you can't get that close to some shit where you're, like, tearing up talking about this octopus. I'm sorry, bro. And you're down. Maybe it's because he's holding his breath for so long down there.
People cry, you know, over bonds and loss. So, I get it. A dog... for years and years is different than an octopus you chill with for 3 weeks, though. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I don't know.
He's describing it the first time this octopus came out, the first time it put its tentacles on me. You're like, all right, bro, I get it. You touched the octopus.
But I think wasn't he out there for like a year?
Yeah. Basically, the whole thing's life.
Anyways, that's different.
Where were we at? I'm sorry. I think we got lost here in the Danny's Aquatic Kingdom.
We were talking about these bitches. No, we were talking about how
the hate.
Yes.
The intolerance to intolerance is its own weird paradoxical thing that exists on the internet. And it is, it should be looked at in this regard. So women are able to choose how they want to take pictures, and everyone must be accepting of that.
But, and they should.
And they should, absolutely. Yes. But the inability to accept the repercussion of somebody else having the freedom to choose exactly what they want.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the overspill that happens with this, like, this crystallized internet information age that we're in now. Like, we are built on built, and we all understand these things, and now we're cognitive dissonance is happening because it's like new information happening, and then there's all these different truths, and then it's like, okay, these people are mad because they said this and this, and you can be in two totally different worlds. You can be half, and that's why I struggle with it, because I have friends in the whole super leftist world. I have friends in the centrist world, and I still have friends in the right world and in the alt-right, you know? And like, so seeing some of their things seep in, or seeing all their opinions on one thing, right? And just seeing the depth of how they, the whole school of thinkings that they have on why they disagree on the shit. It's like, damn, you got some points. But then if I do my own research, I'm like, okay, either these people are overlooking this, or they're just being retarded, or they most likely have their own personal thing going on as to why they fucking feel so passionately about it. You know, like they went through a specific situation with if we're talking about healthcare, they went through a specific situation where the healthcare system fucked them. So now you're a leftist, you know what I'm saying? Because you have this debt now, or, you know, or school or whatever. You think school should be free because you have $60,000 in debt or some shit like that.
Well, then it leads you down the road of confirmation biases, right?
Yes. Well,
you know, it's weird. I have a lot, like I said, I grew up very, I still think I'm a liberal, but the fact of the matter is the liberal side has moved so much that I'm basically a centrist moving to conservative, because the left is moving too far for me to catch up. Yes. And I'm going to be 100% honest with where I fall politically. But I've always believed in a lot of the liberal policies, you know, like, you know, forms of socialism that exist, like Social Security. I do believe we should take care of our elderly. And because of capitalism, you know, people aren't able to focus their life on taking care of their elderly. We also live in larger homes or live in separate homes, which is different. So, you know, I believe in Social Security, Medicaid, and a lot of these different things. Oh, man, where was I going with this? I'm sorry. My brain
You said you're starting to go left, you're starting to go right, be a little conservative because they're going so left so fast, and that's,
you can't keep up.
You can't keep up or something.
But prior to that, what were you saying? My bad. I'll edit this all out.
I was saying that, like, we're in a calcified information age, and like all these fucking new truths are like melding over each other, and like that's people are sensitive.
Sorry, so people, this is what I was gonna say, is as things move over, people like, where I might fall on the Second Amendment is different. So they're like, oh, you must be a conservative, so you're against gay rights. I'm like, no, I'm not against gay rights. Well, because you support the Second Amendment, you must be anti-abortion. It's like, no, also not true.
And that's why I can't fuck with politics.
Bipartisanship is fucking retarded. It's dumb.
It is so
there's too many things that fall into. It's just like, no, you all of these things, you cannot lump me into all these things just because of this. No human is specifically all these things. And when I do meet somebody that agrees with everything that the left says, most likely I'm just like, dude, you are either, you didn't look all the way, or you're just a certain way, you know, whatever it is. And that's okay.
And here's the other thing that people will never forgive you about. Is apparently on everything we have a thought about, we need to be experts immediately. Like when the whole George Floyd thing happened, I was like, man, that's really bad. That cop shouldn't have done that. And everybody's like, oh, you fucking hate cops, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I didn't say that. I'm just saying in this instance, I didn't think a person should be, you know, have a knee on their neck ever. Mm-hmm. Not for the time, not for the situation, ever. I mean, it's terrible. And I was like, that guy is terrible. And everybody immediately thought, oh, well, the feds hates cops. It's like, that's a weird thing where you can't have an opinion about one thing. You have to have an opinion about everything about it. You know what I'm saying?
You can't criticize Or oh, you yeah. can't praise anything. You can't even say, I like this thing, because then you're worshiping them. Or if you criticize them, now you're anti-Semitic or you're anti-fucking phobe or some shit. It's like, no, I have this one critique about what I think the Israelis are doing. That does not mean I'm anti-Semite. I should be able to say something. I don't like the fact that the Chinese fuck up the environment for their dicks. That doesn't mean it's Asian hate. I think that they should deal with the erections they have. You know, that's it.
Excuse me? Can we elaborate on this?
Listen, Danny.
Fez knows.
They're destroying the environment for their dicks?
No. This is what I'm saying. Is that no one's talking about the amount of endangered species that are dying for Chinese erections.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Is this something I missed out on? Was this a different podcast you guys were on?
Rhinos. Why do we have rhinos? Shark fin soup. Why do we have that? Bluefin tuna. Why is that gone?
You know where you're going. Yes. I see where you're going.
I can keep going. I can keep
going. Those aphrodisiacs, huh?
Yes.
The cutest animal in the world. They're like, man,
excuse me, are those the ugly fucking leprosy looking things?
Yes.
Yeah. Cutest animal in the world? Yeah, because you're ugly as shit.
I know. I love
Sorry, that was rude.
You know what? That's why I like pugs. Because, and that must be why you like that, why you reference the octopus, because you're fucking Squidward.
Probably.
Jesus. That should have been made. Also, one more thing, and this is a hate. It's just fucked up, and it's a thought I had this morning, and please correct me, and look, it's cool if you guys don't share, but look, I've been hearing that Black transgenders are killed the most. Okay, that's what I've been hearing, and that we should really be, you know, it's mostly by Black men that do it, apparently, that kill them, and then, like, Black women have, like, used this super heavily and talked about this, and, like, this has been a part of why Black men are fucking part of the fucking huge problem, or Black men are almost white men is what I've actually heard recently. So, nevertheless, so from my own opinion, okay, this is so fucked up, but I think about the niggas that I know that's gotten shot, okay, and killed. Okay, and in my circle of growing up, all those dudes had either intense aggression or like made their decision making skills were out of hand, right? And so I could see how they got into a situation to get shot a little bit. Now, rest in peace.
A little bit.
Okay, so the world is ugly, and if you are making decisions in a fucking fucked up ass environment, somebody could cross you and do you dirty. So that is possible. And I'm just saying it's not good, but it's just like I can see how that leads. Now, with transgenders, Black transgender men that are a lot of times sex workers, if you're a sex worker and you're not. Maybe they're not a lot of times sex workers, but if you are that. Okay, when I meet them, most of the time, they are a certain personality. I will say that when they take on the personality of the woman they do not choose like the normal Black woman that just goes to work and comes home. No, they try and act like a fucking Black female rapper, you know what I'm saying? Or to try and act like
they want to go on Meg Stallion.
No,
Are you disagreeing?
No, I am 100% in agree. Like when the personality comes for there's never a very
stable normal.
Their personalities are like a caricature.
Yes,
of what this person thinks a woman's personality is like. It's
yes.
Now, are you talking about trans in particular, or are you talking about Black trans men specifically? Because
I'm sorry, I'm talking about Black trans women. So
Black trans
guy.
Women. Okay,
a guy that's turning into a woman that is Black. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Okay,
okay.
I don't think that observation is strictly Black males transitioning to Black women. I think that's, to me, observationally, I'm saying I think what I have seen in the media, I feel like that is across the board throughout the races of males transitioning to females. They are not, you know, ever quiet or reserved. They're always outrageous.
So here's my
that I disagree with. That I disagree with.
Okay.
That's why I'm asking for I like to do things for myself. Like I like to experience things for myself before I make a decision. Right. Like
that I completely agree. And that's based off not ever meeting. It's the perception based off of media.
No, that's for me off of meeting. That's
mine's off of meeting also. Fez, you're in the middle of nowhere, Arizona. Mark and I are in like places where this is really common. Really common. You know what I mean?
100%. So what you're saying before you say it is just because you've never experienced it doesn't mean you can't have an opinion. And that
you totally can. But I'm just saying that's why I'm asking Mark for specifically that thing. Because if you dip into these things from a psychological standpoint and you talk about like the Black community as a whole, what do you hear? Like it is lacking father leadership roles, right? Does that drive some men to take on women roles because they come up in households where they don't have a father figure? So do they come up more feminine like there's all of these different factors from a psychological standpoint that causes people to do physiological things, you know, like.
So are you saying that's your reason for why you think they change?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there are studies done for all of that. But I'm saying like for my experiences personally, like I go to my little, well, before Corona, I used to go to my little nerd shop and I used to play my Warhammer shit every single Thursday, right? One of the people that was there was a man transitioning to become a woman, right? White dude transitioning to be a trans woman. Well, I kind of like watch the process, right? I'm in there every single Thursday. So I notice like dudes becoming more feminine and everything, but like obviously there's things that can't change, right? Your hand structure, like your hands are still going to look like you still have the same old man mitts, you know, like these different things. But she transitioned and was very super shy and reserved. And the whole time after she had been like fully transitioned into a woman and had breasts and stuff, and she'd come and she was like so nervous to play games with us and everything. All of us were totally accepting and understanding. We're like, hey, we obviously know who you are. Like we've all been here all the time, but she was not at all like what I would expect somebody to transition to be all like, hey, well, I'm like pro trans. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the time you have like, all they can talk about is pro trans right. But she just sat there and she's quiet and she's super reserved. And you would have to be like, hey, how's it going? And bring her out of her comfort shell just so she would engage with you. So that's why I'm asking like physiological. Mm. I'm not saying, hey, I'm a racist fuck and like Black people don't have dads and blah, like, but I've been reading a lot of books that deal with psychological type of things. So, and like all of that stuff factors in. So like you never know why somebody does what they do until you look at how they were brought up.
Okay, so all that stuff still lends itself to what I was talking about when I was talking about Black trans. So when I'm talking about Black trans, the character that they take on is a certain type and it is messy and can be toxic, okay? So if you're a sex worker and you are already in a position of danger already, and then on top of that, you are now with dudes that are in some cases breaking the law to get to sex, you're already in a seedy situation. And then on top of that, you add the personality you have and you're not all the way a woman. So a dude is going to fuck you up in a way that he's going to beat you like a man.
Because, you're right.
Thank you. So we're not accounting for like, we're not like, like we're acting like dudes. The narrative right now is that dudes are just going out of hate to just go beat up trans dudes. But I'm sure that there's a good percentage of them where it's just like you're not revealing
some shit.
Either you were. The dude knew he was about to fuck. Okay, so I'm not even gonna go with it was a surprise dick. No, you two were kicking it, and the dude was like, "Cool, I'm cool with getting getting my dick sucked by a trans." And then you do some bogus ass shit. You switch up, or you do some disrespectful ass shit, or you be like, "Fuck you, nigga, little ass dick, nigga," right? And start talking about deep voice or something. Right? Or while it's happening. Or something. Right? And just something.
Or even if they just finish and then they feel ashamed at themselves or something. Or you don't know when somebody's going to snap. Well, that's lends itself.
Yes. So, but I'm saying also the mental thing that goes into that, I think it plays more on a... Okay, so yeah, there's probably a lot of shame and fucking you just fucked a transgender person and then I'm going to choke them out. Maybe there's a higher percentage of that than I maybe accounted for. But
I bet you that's pretty high up on the list. Hey, you should have told me first.
No. I think they did know. They just like, they did know the whole time and then they're like, fucking, I'm disgusting. And then they do it.
It's probably very rare where it's 100%. And you know, and this is what I've always said. If I see you and I think, you know, you're male that transitioned to a woman, and my brain immediately goes, that's a woman, great job on you. But hold on a second. If my brain is like, you know, I see him from the back, got a little bit of short hair, broad shoulders, like, hey, bro. And they're like, oh, bro. I'm not a bro. It would be a lot different. And just like, in, you know,
as would you it be stated, Fez? As it's, you said, it's almost like this happened before. Would you care to elaborate?
This happened when I was working out in Yucca Valley. I went down to that, and it was like basically a Planet Fitness. And there was a dude that was, you know, I wouldn't say ripped, but, you know, very manly, right? Had long hair, but long hair and wide shoulders. You're still like, it's California. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a guy, right? In my brain, I was like, or, you know, potentially a bodybuilding woman, but my brain doesn't immediately go to that. So I was like, hey, bro, you know, when you're done with those, can I grab those? And he got really mad at me because she was a transgender. And this is probably, you know, kind of paints my this kind of paints my thought on this thing because this person's makeup. Okay, so first off.
What did you say, Fez?
I said, I'm sorry. When you're done with those weights, can I get them? And they're like, oh, yeah. And
after that, what was your response? You quick-witted, clever fuck.
I wasn't out for a fight. So
I the know, place where what did you say?
No. I didn't say anything. The place where you're going to get one over on me is at the gym because I am not.
You're not trying to be social.
I'm not trying to be social. I'm not trying to talk. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not trying to text. All I want to do is just work out. I regiment it before I go there and all that. So anyways, this is kind of my, you know, if you've ever encountered.
Then who was it you told to try harder? who was the one that when they got mad at you, you told, well, try harder?
That was at a... That was at Walmart.
Not Walmart.
It was Sprouts. And yes, that was a thing too. I was like, hey, excuse me, man. Like, you know, where do you know where this is? And that person was transgender. I was like, you know, it's my pronouns are, you know, she. And I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. Try harder next time. And I fucking walked off. And that wasn't even to be mean. That was reflexatory at best. I was in a state of shock. I had been surprised by you not being what I expected you to do. And, you know, sometimes I react defensively, and that was probably just a defensive reaction.
Fez is hitting them with the Amazon review at the end.
So
each experience. Well, try harder.
But yeah,
I thought it was funny because we had talked about that before, and it was just like, I don't have an issue with anybody being however they want to be, but it's when people want you to change everything because they can't accept them. That is what I have an issue with. So when Fez told me the story, he's like, he reacted that way because like somebody's like mad at you, and it's like, why do you get to be all mad at me? When like, I've been living my life this whole way, you appear this way, and like, now you're gonna snap at me, like you could do it nicer, you know? So that's what I thought was funny.
Or just not even correct. Like when people, so everybody knows my first name is Calixtro. When people go, oh, Calistrano, I'm not like, hey, fuck you, man, it's Calixtro. It's like, hey, you know, like, right? You know, like, yeah, that's me. I'm the name that you can't pronounce. Wave my hand, got it. I don't even get offended. I know you're trying to talk to me. You've never seen that name before. So, you know, when you're a person that's in a body that's, you know, maybe my brain has never like seen before, you're a big dude with, you know, like just.
And your name's Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. Just not even that. Like, I didn't even know the name. Like when you have man shoulders and then you turn around and you're trying to be, you know, a woman. And I know that people are going to get mad that I'm saying trying to be. But what I meant is to trick another person's eye into thinking that you're a woman. That's also a very bad way
to
say it.
That's incredibly offensive also. Fez just digging it.
I'm all right with that. I'm saying is my brain has worked it one way for, you know, 37 years. And, you know, it's learned to pick out things, inconsistencies.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was gonna say whether that be you know, of safety mechanisms. Like, for example, you're driving, all of a sudden you see a bunch of red lights. Oh, that's an inconsistency to us moving at 75 miles per hour. Your brain's always picking up these little things, and you're not going to change that. You're not going to rewire your brain because it hurts somebody's feelings.
Exactly. I think it's interesting you brought it there, because you and I always go back to, like, we always like to refer back in time and everything. And I feel like you're saying, from an evolutionary standpoint, like the trans thing, all of these things, they're still relatively new. So like, we don't have natural instincts, habits, and routines that like are commonplace yet. So like, of course people are going to do shit like what happened with you, you know, like, just like I'm going to do the same thing. I am completely for everybody doing their own shit, but as soon as they're pushy with it, I'm like, fuck you. And I want to be offensive for some reason, you know?
Because cognitive dissonance. I got a question. Uh-huh. Is, when we talk about evolution, okay, is gender and the roles in society, are those actually things that are evolutionary, or are they socialized? Or are they socialized?
Both.
Like, I think that there's studies that show, which I've seen them, where a little girl, they have a little boy and a little girl picking up, you know, choosing what toys they want. Got a boy picks up either an army or a gun or blocks and builds up a fucking tower, and girl picks up a toy. But also, these kids were also like 5. It's not like they were babies. So like, how socialized were they already at that age? You know, how many times did their parents put them in dresses? How many times did the boys get given suits or fucking shorts, you know? So it's like, I think that if you just put people in a room and put a whole bunch of dresses and everything from the beginning, from tiny, from 2, and gave a boy dresses and skirts and everything to wear, he may pick up all the shit and not give a fuck.
I also think, too, you make a great point. I think one of the things, you know, seeing my daughters and my son grow up, is they immediately react to what they, I don't want to say idolize, but what they want to be. Like, you know, my son sees a superhero on TV. You know, he wants to be that. Or my girls, when they saw Ariel, that's, for the longest time, all they wanted to be was Ariel. And mm-hmm. they're like, well, what does Ariel do? And that's what shapes what they want. It's
right.
Man, I just really stuttered there. The
aspirational,
modeling,
right?
Modeling. So mm-hmm. they see a and, you know, not model as a model, runway model, but, you know, a psychological model. Like, I see that person, I either A, want to be like them, or B, don't want to be like them. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, they determine that, like, A does this, B does that. I want to do what A does. And so I think a lot of times it is instinctual, not societal.
I think we are physiologically and psychologically linked way more than we give ourselves credit for. But like,
oh, all right, after sorry. This.
Yeah. Sorry.
You just shut down.
I completely lost it.
I know. Like, the last time, I know what happened in your brain. I was talking the last time.
Like me with the bomb rest.
Food?
I'm like, yeah. Is that a delivery for? Is that?
Sorry, I tried to take the mic.
Is he in a lobby?
Huh. Oh, no, no. My apologies, guys.
Okay. So, my bad.
Fuck. Give me a
minute. We're talking about societal. We're talking about, like, you know, I said that my daughter's size.
Oh, okay. So I think that psychologically and physiologically, I think that when we talk about evolution, we have to consider both things, right? Like, you can't just be like, well, us as relation. I think, yes, sex roles are evolving. And like, I guess you could say I would probably be more on the right of things politically, I guess. I hate saying that. It seems like now's a really bad time to say something like that. But like, only in the regards of, like, I feel like I can subscribe to social programs for people that are deserving of those things. But as somebody that, like, I feel like I just handle my own shit, and like, everybody else should too, because like, maybe I'm that bitter guy that's like, well, I'm doing this, why don't you? But when I think about evolution and sex as a whole, like, you can't look at other like seahorses and shit, where the male gives birth. Like, do you think they sat there and they planned out, like, what's going on? I feel like society, now that that's the only way we live. We live in societies, in groups. Sure, you got people in fucking bumfuck Kansas that are like, you know, a couple acres away from the nearest person. But like, for the most part, everybody interacts with people on a daily basis. So no matter what, we are shaping each other from an evolutionary standpoint. So as soon as somebody's like, hey, you know, I don't think I really like chicks, you know, like I'm kind of more into the dudes, and then that becomes more accepted. As soon as there's less hate and bias towards that, then it will become more commonplace. And then you're going to bring up generations that were raised with that, without exactly. the lack of hate towards it. So I feel like, yes, societal pressure.
That's why I think there's always been evolution. Transgenders. There's that, yes.
Absolutely.
But it's societal happens. Well before it's well, evolutionary,
and then,
you know?
And then it's also statistical. I mean, there wasn't 7 billion people on the planet, you know, that, you know, just looking 100 years ago. It was nowhere near. So if transgenders have always existed, then statistically, as we increase in numbers, then obviously their numbers would increase as well. Yeah. And I mean, I'm okay with that.
Well, it's like you talk to somebody about gay stuff that, like, offensive people. Like, you know, I talked to this one guy that's like, yeah, it's just like people say that gay, you're just born gay, you know? And it's like, yeah, right, that's a choice. And it's like, dude, first of all, like, I don't think that I'm gay, so I can't really speak to the topic that much. But also, like, you ever seen a male dog try to fuck another male dog? Like, you can't think that maybe there's some kind of instinctual thing that may make a dude want to fuck another dude. That's not like, hey, they're just choosing to do it because of some random cause in their brain, you know? Like,
well, I always like when people, like, you know, bring up genetics when it comes to, like, homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And no way do I think that homosexuals and transgenders are the same in their thought process or anything like that. But there is a thing called, I want to say it's epigenetics. And what epigenetics is, it's basically says that based on your circumstance, your genetics are a potential. And your environment based off of these potentials. So and it's also like, to me, it is a genetic thing, but sort of thing. Because, you know, you... look at the psychology serial killer. And it's like, okay, all these people are very different. Most of them white, but very different. I don't threw that out there for Danny.
Skinny and bald with dainty goatees.
So anyway, a lot of these people have very similar trauma, very similar upbringing. So it's like, okay, if you bring these people up similarly, this can happen. Doesn't mean that when it always happens, but it can happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the epigenetics, basically, like I said, it takes that. And I think there's probably a lot to it that they're not looking at the statistical probability of why this is happening. Like, let's look at the family composition. Let's look at everything. Let's look at, you know, a lot. And we'll probably see a lot more, but I think the whole thought that genetics are a just one thing, like A and B, makes you know the same thing every single time. This just isn't true. You have to have a different environment, and I think our environment, the American environment, is a lot different than for the same races in China, or the same races in Europe, or the same races in Africa. I think it's the epigenetics, even if the genetics are very similar, the epigenetics comes out with a much different outcome. And that includes personality.
I like that.
And here's another thing, too, is personality, some of it is hereditary. The way you are will get passed on to your kids without you.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
That makes total sense.
And some of that shit's astrological, you know? Like, who knows? Like, you can't discount anything. I feel like the other day
what?
I was...
What? Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
just
you don't know where you're...
Capri Sun, it's going to change everything else.
Yeah.
Come well, on now.
The sun was at 23 degrees on this day, so...
Oh, I'm a Taurus, so this is why
I mean, the moon is responsible for the water, and we're 80% water.
Boom. Yeah. Suck it, Fez.
Okay, agree with that. But the moon isn't even hardly, I mean, it's part of astrology, but a lot of it is all kinds of different.
No, but the moon is a total part of astrology.
But I'm just
totally.
Saying, you can't look at all this shit and then discount astrology from other things just as much as like you can knock like anything, right?
I don't know what you think I'm not capable of, but I can absolutely do that.
That's totally true. I thought it was funny you went into all this brain stuff with the epigenetics and everything else because I think in one of our previous episodes, you talked about a moment in time where you have the choice to make a decision. There's like a specific moment. I think I remember you describing something like that. And a friend from work had recommended a book to me that I just started. I started listening to it because I've been working by myself. So it's easy to just pop in a book. But the book is called Blink. Is that where you, have you ever read that book or is that where you got that thought of it? Or like,
no, my thoughts come from a multiplicity of podcasts somewhere in the podcasting world, there is an episode that talks to some psychologist that says, hey, you actually have a moment of reaction. You know what? It could have also been a psychology class. There's a lot that could have been there. So psychology 101, maybe, I don't know what. Got that from, but I do know that when I read it, I was like, holy smokes, let me start fixing myself because of that.
Right. So exactly, like this guy had recommended this book. I finished up the book I was currently listening to, and I started this one. I was like, oh shit, this is exactly what Fez was talking about. And the guy talks about there's a very definitive moment where you have an opportunity to make a instinctual decision or what people always refer to as that gut decision, you know, that.
Yeah, so you have a reaction. You react. Did he put a name to it?
Fuck, he probably did. I just barely got into the book. I haven't even got that far into it. But basically, it's like an instinctual thinking. And what he opens up the book with is like there's this, I think it's called a Sakura or something like this, but it's essentially this artifact, right? Like an old artifact that's in like Japanese in nature or scan. I don't even remember. Like I barely got into the book, but this museum is like really interested in this piece that this guy brings in. So this one person comes over from a university and he's like doing the study on the statue and he like pulls some samples off the shit, does a little core deal. And he's like, yeah, there's this fucking calcite on the outside, and the only way that can happen is like through thousands of years of being in the dirt or whatever, you know. And so like the museum's like, oh fuck yeah, like this thing's legit, you know, because this one specialist came in here, used a bunch of tools and did all this stuff, and like, yeah, it's clearly legit because like this dude and his tools said it was legit, right? So the museum is going through and for 14 months they're investigating to try and figure out the authenticity of this. I believe it's called a Sakura. If I'm wrong, fucking roast me in the comments. But like, I'm like, the whole time this museum is doing this, they're like, bring in these specialists and these masters that like have been doing this specific type of thing. And they come in and they're talking to the curators at the museum. And they're like, they see the piece for the first time. And right away, within like the first 2 seconds, they pull the sheet off of this statue, you know, and they're like, oh, like you didn't buy this, did you? And they're like, well, what do you mean? You know, and they're like, well, like that's not real, you know, it's not legit. And it's like these people in like 2 seconds were able to be like, okay, that's not real because of X, Y, and Z. And they couldn't explain what it is. They're like, one dude has this process that he uses. And he's like, I think of a word that happens. The first word that hits my head when I look at something, the guy's like, the word hit in my head was fresh. And I knew that it was a phony. You know, and then the other person was like, no, the moment I looked at it, the color is off and I knew it was a phony. And then the next person's like, no, the hands are wrong. I knew it was a phony. So
these
people just surrounded themselves by it to where their instinct learned so much more. And it talked about, like you were saying, if you let that primal side take over and make those rush decisions for you and you pay attention to that, like your body actually knows what it's doing. And this book tries to identify when those moments are and when you can trust those instincts and when you have to reshape them. And I thought it was a really interesting premise, like based off of what you had talked about. But it's just dope. So long term, they go on, they discover that it is in fact a phony, and they had just bought like this $10 million fake artifact when experts were able to do this.
So there's a thing called, and I know you guys have heard this before, it's called groupthink, but if not, groupthink is the type of mentality where different positions let you think something. So for example, your favorite President Daniel Trump. So there's a type of groupthink that either A, whatever he says is wrong, or there's the other group that says B, whatever he says is right. And there's those two groups, and then there's a third group obviously that goes, hey, I need to verify if this is correct or not. So you have
that third group is dwindling.
There's also another thing where a proposed expert, no one ever checks them on their what they say. And this is another issue that happens, especially with social media. Like, hey, I'm a person that does this, so I know best. And people go, oh, well, who am I to argue this person because he is, whatever. He's he has a bachelor's or a master's in biology. Obviously, he knows, astrology.
Also,
better than I do. So there's
studies. Studies have shown proclivity. People have the natural proclivity to want to accept things that they want to be true naturally anyway. So like the museum staff, they want to believe that this is real. So their bias deep down instinctually already goes into thinking more
confirmation bias.
About
that's confirmation bias. Yeah, absolutely. We struggle with that all the time. But anyways, I also think that there's another thing too, which falls into religion, where it's member groupthink, where it's like, okay, hey, this organization has my best interest in mind, so of course they're always going to steer me correct.
Mm.
And there's multiple types of groupthink, and the same thing too can be stated for like members who go into a gang, like a street gang. They're like, okay, these guys got my back, so they're going to tell me the truth all the time. So it goes to all of these different segments and tribalism, where we have to really question those around us, what they're saying, if it is true or not. That whole skepticism should be almost all the time.
We should be skeptical.
Should be, right?
Yes. And skepticism is one of the biggest thing that Nietzsche had put out there. It's like, the skeptical man is the guy who always, looks into stuff and, questions everything. And that's what we should aspire to. Not pessimistic, but skepticism. When the information comes to you and it's correct, well, then obviously your skepticism should diminish and you should accept the truth of a matter. So, I don't know. I thought that was really cool.
I think it's dope and interesting. There's been times where people got mad at me because I'm being skeptical, and I'm just like, yeah, but are you telling me I should trust everything that this person says?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the thing too. Now, so here's something that I think really needs to get looked at with actually some skepticism. This is something I've been wanting to talk to for a while with you guys. With the advent of the UAPs and the alien stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember back in the day, a lot of times alien sightings would be contributed to mass hysteria.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it makes me, I understand there can be mass hysteria. We've seen it on social media multiple times. But looking into these previous mass hysteria things, should they be, should the government and everybody else and people be looking at these old issues with new light? I don't know.
Like UAPs?
Yeah, no, the mass hysteria. Like these people who before, like, for example, there was one, Danny was talking about it the other day, where all of these kids had interaction with the aliens, right?
Okay.
And they're like, oh, it's all untrue. Even 20 years later, the story's never changed. And these kids got said, oh, this was a case of mass hysteria. You guys ate some jello that somebody had farted on. I don't even remember what the actual, reasoning. It's always something really stupid. But you guys were, inflicted with mass hysteria. So it makes me wonder how convenient mass hysteria has always been, and you know, the truth of it as well, since it's been able to so easily be put onto so many things.
Well, I mean, can we pull up the definite, like the actual Merriam-Webster definition of mass hysteria? Because like in my mind, mass hysteria, like that's perpetrated by the media, by the people pumping out information. Like that is fabricated. Like you can't tell me mass hysteria. Like if I go into the woods with like 10 dudes, we all do mushrooms and we all see the same exact type of shit. And then somebody else is like, hey, this is what's going on. Like, and then you put a label on it? Like, is that what mass hysteria is? Like,
so I'm just going to do a Wikipedia thing. It basically says, in sociology and psychology, mass hysteria is a phenomenon that transmits collective illusions of threats, whether real or imaginary, through a population and society as a result of rumor and fear. So now that rumor and fear, now we take that away because, you know, these kids are actually seeing something.
So it can't be described therein definition of mass hysteria, right?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like all of these old school mass...
But that just that just takes away rumor. But it doesn't take away fear, and it doesn't take away, like, seeing illusions. Mm,
that's true.
As a group.
That's true.
Yeah, and you're right. Our eyes, I mean, that's how magicians survive, is optical illusions.
Yes.
So, you know, that's all they do is they, you know, the mind is an easy thing to trick.
Also, like, okay, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, the homie, he said, yo, why don't we, with pictures, he said, like, there's 9 billion pictures uploaded every day, like, of everything that we've never seen. This is the only time where the most people in the world have high-resolution cameras, right? Mm-hmm. And they're capturing things that were never caught before. Capturing things in nature that you never see. Bears upturning cones. Fucking birds dispersing, you know, liquid so that they can drink water when it gets drank too far. Like understanding physics to a certain degree. All these things that we never thought we'd see, right? That are fascinating and smart. Maybe we've been under. How come we don't see aliens now? Why haven't we seen a clear shot of any alien things yet? You know? What is up with that?
timelines, man. Like, we're thinking small scale. Like,
so you're saying there's another layer.
You've got to stretch timelines out. There are so many things that we don't understand that people are just dipping into, dimensional things and everything else. Like, I think.
So you're saying that aliens are better at hiding now because they know we all have.
Potentially, or like, you know how like we operate off frequencies, right? Like, our heart operates off a frequency of 60 hertz. Sounds like. If you ever look into principles of like, resonant frequency, there is a specific frequency to break down almost anything, right? So you go into like building a high rise tower or something, right? You want to make sure that shit's seismic. Earthquakes could be a potential thing. So all this stuff goes into this to counter resonant frequency. But like, resonant frequency is able to destroy something just by vibrations. You vibrate at a specific frequency, you can destroy pretty much everything. So when you start talking about like primitive type of things, right, they think that like, why you look at all this stuff that we can explain back in time, back to like ancient aliens and stuff like that, why can they make these precise fucking cuts in granite stone that we can't even pull off with modern machinery and mesh the stone together?
Okay, this is gonna take me on another wow. Okay, so first, I'm not gonna get into it.
Do we do aliens in space too much?
Modern man.
No.
Okay.
Modern man discredits ancient man.
Absolutely.
Unbelievably so much. If there's not recorded history, ancient man is immediately discredited. So, for example,
then they're dumb. They're dumb immediately, right?
Exactly. So in Greece, we know the Colosseum was built, by the Romans and all these different things. There's no one is going to build a Colosseum out of stone. Right. However, if we didn't have the thing, like, well, how could this have been done? There's no possible way.
Right. That this Those could have been dummies done. Couldn't have done it.
And then here's the other thing, too. I got to throw this out there. The colonizers rewriting of ancient history.
You would say white people fast. I won't be offended.
No, I'm not saying white people. I'm saying colonizer because, I mean, you say that you have Spaniards. You have Portuguese, you have French, you have English, you have Dutch.
That's true.
You know, and those are all different types of whites, right? I'm not going to be like, ah, oh, that's all one thing. So that's why I say colonizer as a person that goes out to a different world and starts inhabiting it. That's the difference. That's a huge difference.
You're talking conquistadors and shit. Gotcha.
Yeah, and colonizers. I mean, let's just throw it, broaden the term, make it simple, right?
Perfect.
Their immediate thought has always been, these dummies can't have done this. Even like Polynesians, they're like, you know, like with the Easter Island, it's like, we know that Polynesians have been able to outsail almost every other people right from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? But they're like, oh, look at these guys can sail. No, they can't. They possibly couldn't have done anything else. They're too dumb to have done this. And I think that's a real arrogant way to look at history.
Absolutely.
I think it's a terrible way. We do not credit enough. And, you know, I'll throw this out there. If you want to look at modern compared to what, you know, we can't do, just look at like some of those chapels and stuff that were built in Europe 300 years ago. We're not able to replicate that. We use different tools. We use different materials. We use a lot of different things.
We talk about like Jordan and Petra and stuff like that. It's like, these things were done immaculately before their time. And people are like, well, yeah, back when the dummies were around.
Yeah. You know? Why do we keep saying before their time? They were made at their time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like we were too dumb. No, we've lost a lot of history. You know, you hear about, you know, the Library of Alexandria and all of these different things where we, you know, all of man used to go to, you know, to collect knowledge, and all of this stuff was lost. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's kind of an interesting thought that you bring up. Like, do you think if we took those people from back in that time before all that information was lost and we placed them in today's world with the amount of things that we have and them knowing what they knew of their time, I bet you we'd be double where, like way more advanced than where we are.
Let me tell you something. Have you ever heard of the Coral Caverns?
No.
The Coral Caverns were built by, I think it was like somebody in Florida, using ancient techniques. This guy by himself moved 100 tons of stone by himself using ancient techniques. And if do me a favor right now, just go ahead and Google Coral Caverns and see the structures that this guy built by himself using what he said was ancient technologies.
It happens. It's not Coral Caverns. Man built coral structures.
Man.
Coral Castle. God.
Coral Castle.
So anyways, we'll keep going on this. So look at this, like right out there, like you see those gigantic stones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy moved.
He shaped all that.
He shaped them all. He moved them all, and he created this thing. And basically, he used, like in this thing, it says some said he had supernatural power. Ed would only say that he knew the secrets used to build the ancient pyramids, and if he could learn them, you could too. So that was his big shtick, right? So with this, we take out, ancient man couldn't have done this, because you have a modern man who proved that ancient man could do this. We just aren't using, we're just basically, we're kind of in, quitter syndrome, where we just say, it can't be done, so we don't try.
Yeah, or we develop a different means because we've, this place is fucking nuts.
Yeah, this is what I'm trying to say. We are very discrediting to ancient man.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Aliens. We didn't know about it, so it has to be aliens. It's like, come on, let's drop this narrative. Let's drop this wacky haired ancient aliens dude's narrative and go, how did ancient man do this?
Now, how long did it take this guy to do this? Because this is crazy. There's like these, to describe it to the listeners, it's basically like stone structures where this guy has carved in a ton of different things. I mean, there's crescent shape deals. There's like what looks like a sculpture of Saturn in like coral stone, and like all of this elaborate work with doorways and stairs And like, I mean, it looks like semi-precise work is all done. That's nuts. That's nuts that there was no power tool or anything to do any of this.
Yeah, I mean,
and one man did it. Like,
who's to say he didn't use modern tools to assist?
Even if he did, it's still kind of impressive. One dude finished that in his life.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. There was no power tools back in the, you know, the whatever he was at for the 1940s. There were some, but you know, have nowadays. So that whole thought of ancient man is unable to do any of this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I think that there is a lot of arrogance in modern man. And
to
not
discount,
enough,
yeah,
and there's an immediate discount of ancient man.
Yo,
what okay. We figured it out. I was incorrect. It's called Coral Castle. So if you were looking it up, Mark, it's called Coral Castle. Basically, Danny was already amazed with what this guy did. These gigantic slabs of blocks.
That's crazy.
And he did it himself using ancient techniques. So this is all I'm saying is. I dislike the thought of that. And I also dislike the thought of many things, savagery of the Aztecs and, you know, all these people, you know, my people.
Yeah, to discount the intellect of the time.
Absolutely. There's a lot of, like, they're like, look at these dumb savages. Oh, they can't have done anything. They're savages. So it's like completely, you know, discrediting everything that's been done by ancient man. So, like I said, that's the part where we jumped on aliens and we're talking about mass hysteria where I had to interject and be like, we're wrong here. We need to stop that. It was, yeah. So anyways, talk about mass hysteria, yeah? I think we went down a super rabbit hole. I don't know.
We did. We jumped down that mass hysteria like that. And then the other thing I got was hypothetical animal battles. Like I had a friend recently that was like, hey, who do you think wins in a battle of? And then gave me some hypotheticals. And what I thought was interesting, they put caveman with tools as one of the things. So like you had a category that was like leopard, panther, cheetah, caveman with tools. And I was like, wait, you got to get more specific.
Is
like,
this a battle royale or what?
Exactly what I said. That's exact. I'm like, is this battle royale at the same time? Because 1v1 man with tools, right? Are we in agreement on that?
Depending on the animal and depending
okay. How about we all throw an animal out there and then caveman?
Is this in a coliseum or is this in a forest? Is this in that animal's natural habitat? What are we talking here?
Okay, let's dictate that right now. Mark, you be the decider. Fez and I had too much input so far. Mark, what's the environment?
I'm going to say in man's natural habitat.
Okay.
Oh, we're in the city. Okay,
we're in
boom.
The city.
Metropolitan right. City. And Fez, pick an animal.
Pick an animal?
Mm-hmm. Any animal.
Elephant.
Boom. Mark, pick an animal.
Gorilla.
Mm. Oh, shit. Gorillas. I'm going to go cougar.
Okay, wait. Can I change mine again?
Yes.
No.
Fuck you, Fed. You can't change your mind.
No.
Get out of here, bitch.
Your ass beat.
Off the top. Yeah. Get picking
that. Remember that, nigga.
Okay. No, sorry, all right. I still probably have the most solid winner. We're talking about a fucking. All right.
Yeah, but you got a human with tools. Remember, caveman with tools. That factors in there. We're in a metropolitan city. That means I got height advantages. I got windows. I got all this shit. And you got one animal that's got to take the biggest fucking path. Or, debatably, small paths and just fuck some shit up. I'm using leverage to kill an elephant myself. I'm using a pole and some leverage.
So we said the caveman's natural environment or our natural man environment?
The city. It's the metropolitan city. Oh, man. Okay. Because, yeah, you're right.
Now, against the cougar and...
Well, technically, a caveman, what tools now? That caveman will now learn probably how to use our tools and probably just get a gun and shoot everyone.
Oh, true. Yeah, but how quick can they learn that? They're still cavemen. They got to learn how to use a sword. They got to learn how to use all the shit. They wouldn't know how to grab a strap.
Yeah, they're not going to learn how to, like, go buy a licensed gun.
I mean, like, if you put them in far parts of the city.
I'd like an assault weapon, please.
Yes.
Sir, you're going to have to wait 3 days. Oh, damn it. I don't have any ID.
God damn it. Biden.
Back in my day, you know.
I think I got to go. So if I'm going to rank it, the elephant's done first because I didn't really think that one through. I'm going to say the gorilla is coming up on top in my list.
For sure. Mark dude, with a hard hitter.
Dude, the gorilla is going to destroy that caveman as soon as it, because, yeah.
Now,
I mean,
but is he? Because I'm trying to lead a gorilla off a parking structure or something. You know, like, well, hey, dummy, I know that there's no vines for you to grab on the other side of this. I'm going to just try and give you the B button at a parking garage.
Well, my assumption is we're talking like Neanderthal, which is not that far back. We're not talking like, you know, like like Cro-Magnon and all super far back.
Okay. Right? Maybe we're diving too deep. So who's the winner in this one? Gorilla?
Gorilla.
I mean, cougar, yes. Though, like the cougar can't take the gorilla is the problem.
Yeah, the gorilla, I don't, so a cougar is a pretty large cat, but I mean, it's not like a tiger. So, like, yeah. I don't know what a cougar weighs, maybe like 200 pounds, but like,
no,
a tiger
less
weighs
than
like
that.
800 pounds.
Yeah, no, honestly, I think the elephant takes cougar. I think the cougar's a loser in this situation. I mean, that's he true. Might take out man because he's got a better hunting instinct, but I think that the elephant's size, cougar can't fuck with it. I think caveman's the only one that can take down the elephant. And if he doesn't do that because the gorilla gets him, then I think potentially the elephant could win this, Vez. In my head.
If man is taken out early by one of the
other. If man goes down without taking out the elephant wins.
That's true. It all depends on circumstance.
Shit.
Nobody's taking out gorilla. No one.
The elephant.
Yes, the elephant's fucking a gorilla up.
Whoa. Only if they're face to face, but a gorilla's not going to just run right straight towards him. He's
We're
gonna,
not
like,
talking
do some...
Planet of the Apes gorillas, bro.
No,
We're
I'm just saying.
Regular ass gorilla.
They're not just going to run. They're going to like jump to the side and choke you by their trunk.
You're acting like an elephant just because elephants like Fez. Just because Fez looks fat as fuck doesn't mean he don't have talents.
I'm just saying that the sheer force. What does elephant has as far as fighting? It's going to stomp and headbutt. That's it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Swing its fucking trunk. One whip from that trunk
so
on a
that's
gorilla.
What I'm trying to say.
Damage.
What I'm trying to say is a gorilla is smart enough to know to not go just head to head to it. It would like pick up something, try and choke it out. It would run around to its back and like slam it with a rock or something.
Okay.
It would
Let
do
me
shit
fuck
like
you
that.
Up with this. Let me fuck you up with this. Okay, T-Rex used to exist and walk around at the same time as the Brachiosaurus, right? Brachiosaurus was not hunted, scientists don't believe. Brachiosaurus was hunted by any other species just because of its size.
It was hunted.
No, it was not. It was not. It was an apex. I don't even think you could say predator. Whatever a fucking apex animal that doesn't eat other animals would be called. But like, yeah. So
like a blue,
just because
like a blue
was,
whale. Like,
nothing
I mean,
in the
say,
ocean is going to fuck with it, even though it doesn't have defenses.
Motherfuckers like, eat blue whales, G. There's blue whale carcasses with big bites in them.
They're dead.
I don't know, man. I don't know what goes down. If a couple sharks start biting at a fucking killer whale, killer shark. Okay, killer whales probably eat blue whales. We really want to talk about it if they're not even in the same.
After they're dead. I'm just saying there becomes that point where, like,
Where it's like, oh, they got some big old bites taken out of it. When did those bites happen? It's on shore. It's not like it
post-mortem.
Went on the shore and we got to see that battle.
Post-mortem.
You know what I'm saying?
Mortem.
Opportunistic.
Ooh. Okay. Thing. So what are we deciding? My vote's on the elephant after I break it down.
No, my vote's still on the gorilla, man.
Gorilla, Fez, you're the decider.
I still gotta go ancient man. I feel
ancient
like he's
man.
Got yeah, I'm gonna go
for
ancient
it
man.
To be here, for us to be here.
In
I would
battle
say.
Royale.
In battle royale, caveman.
Damn. I just sorry. I think, I mean, but caveman's still working with spear and stick and shit, right? And we're talking four at once.
What? Why are you assuming he's just gonna have a stick? He's gonna be like, he's gonna hide and shit. He's gonna have
gonna
deception.
Use...
He's gonna have.
You're right. There's so many places. I'm way off. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but a gorilla is close to being as smart, not as smart.
No, gorilla wins. I'm with Mark now.
If you're gonna say
gorilla, when we're talking about hiding and climbing, like man in a city, a gorilla is just gonna climb up the fucking second story and just throw you out. You're done.
It could throw things down. It could throw big ass shit down. It could. Carry.
I played Donkey Kong. I know how this story goes.
Thank you. Barrel gorilla wins. No barrels.
Next, Fez, you choose the environment, and then we do three more animals.
Three. Man, we've been doing this for a long time now. I actually
made we drop plans. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is fun. Trust me, I don't mind doing this.
This has been Redeeming Qualities, where men speak, but friends speak sometimes too.
Oh, shit. Diablo Bravo. Man. All right. Actually, you know what, guys? This is our 10th episode. This marks our 10th successful recording of the Redeeming Qualities podcast.
Yeah, applause to us, man. We're kind of badass. I'm proud of
everybody. Now I want everybody to take in consideration. This is not how men speak, but just how friends speak. Thank you for listening this evening.
Damn, Daniel got it in one try just to fuck with you, Mark.
Suck it, Mark.
All right.
Man, I'm happy.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Peace.